Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. This is the Bible teaching ministry of Rick Warren. Now, today we're continuing into the new year, and we're digging deeper into one of life's biggest questions: does my life really matter? In today's message, Rick's going to continue his powerful series, Live Your Calling, What on Earth Am I Here For? In it, you'll discover how living out God's purpose for your life brings real meaning, direction, and joy, no matter where you're starting from. Let's get straight to Rick for the final part of a message entitled, Called to Be Sent.
Now, when we talk about the peace plan, we talk about it in three dimensions: personal peace, local peace, and global peace. And your life needs to be involved in all three of these. You need to have a personal peace plan, a local peace plan, and a global peace plan. This is what it means to be called to be sent. My personal peace plan is the ministry, my personal mission to the people in my life, my family, my friends, my neighbors, and my coworkers. That's my personal peace plan. How can I be a blessing to them in their lives? How can I help them come to know God in a personal way? That's my personal peace plan. Local peace is what we do in our small groups. When we go help the poor, when we go care for the sick, when we go educate people who are illiterate, when we teach English as a second language, all of the hundreds of different ministries we have in this church to help the hurts and the hang-ups and the habits of other people, and we have hundreds of these ministries, that's local peace. Global peace is your church's mission to the whole world. Now, Jesus didn't just say, do this. He actually gave us a model. And when you study the ministry of Jesus, you find that Jesus did five things with his life. And they're the five same things that God wants you to do to fulfill this calling. Now, there are some things that Jesus did you can't do, like die on the cross for the redemption and the sins and forgiveness of the human race. I can't do that. You can't do that. But Jesus said, I've given you an example to follow. Now go as I have done unto you. And Jesus, when he was here on earth, did five things. First, he planted a church. He said, I will build my church. And it was a special kind of church. It was a church that promoted reconciliation with God and with other people. You see, the reason there's so much conflict in the world is because there's spiritual emptiness in the world. When people are empty in their hearts, they war not only with themselves, they war with God and they war with other people. And so we have conflict between genders, and we have conflict between economics, status, and we have conflict between nations, and we have conflict between races, and we have conflict between religions, and we have conflict in marriage. Why? Because we don't have peace in our hearts. And when the Prince of Peace reigns in our hearts, then it allows us to make reconciliation with God and with others. And so Jesus planted a church that promoted reconciliation. That's the first thing he did. Second thing Jesus did is he equipped servant leaders. Now follow me on this. Jesus loved everybody, but he fed the 5,000, but he trained the 70, but he discipled 12, and he mentored 3. He equipped servant leaders, and that's part of life. And the third thing that Jesus did is he assisted the poor. Jesus, in his very first sermon, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor. It was the number one agenda. Does God have favorites? Yes, he does. He loves the poor. There are over 2,000 verses in the Bible about the poor, and God says, if you help the poor, I will help you. He assisted the poor. He cared for the sick. The Bible tells us that Jesus went into every village preaching, teaching, and healing. One-third of his ministry was health care. He did preaching, that's telling the good news. He did teaching, that's education. He did healing, that's healthcare. It's not by accident that in every single nation in the world, the first hospital and the first university were started by Christians. It's not an accident. They were started because we have a preaching, teaching, healing faith. In fact, the church invented the hospital. I don't know if you know this. Christians invented the hospital. That's why there's so many of them, St. Mary's and St. Mark's and all these other, because Jesus was a preaching, teaching, healing ministry. He wasn't just our Savior. He's our teacher and he's our healer. So we believe in educating the mind, caring for the body, and saving the soul. So Jesus preached, planted churches, he equipped leaders, he assisted the poor, cared for the sick, he educated the next generation. He said, let the little children come to me. They are the kingdom of God. If you want to care about the next generation, you got to care about, you want to care about the kingdom of God, you got to care about the next generation. Now here's the amazing thing. Jesus' peace plan is the antidote to the five biggest problems on this planet. Go look up the millennial goals of the United Nations. You know what the millennial goals are? They all have to do with these five big problems. Emptiness and conflict, corruption, self-centered leadership, poverty, disease, and a lack of education or illiteracy. Jesus is the antidote to the world's greatest problems. So what does God want you to do? What does God want you to do? Well, look at this verse up here on the screen. The Bible says this in Acts chapter 20, verse 24. The most important thing, he's talking about in my entire life, the most important thing with my life is that I complete my mission. God has a mission for your life. God has a life message he wants to say to the world through you, and God has a life mission for your life. The most important thing that is my mission. And what is it? The work that the Lord Jesus gave me. What is it? To tell people the good news about God's grace. How do I do that? Can you write quick? Let me give you four things. Let's wrap it up with this. Four things. Number one, pray. I pray that people will say yes to God. I pray that people will say yes to God and accept their life mission and their life message. In Matthew chapter 9, this is what Jesus said when he sent his followers out on the very first peace trip. Here's what he said. Jesus said, there are so many people to harvest, but only a few workers to help harvest them. Pray. Pray to the Lord who owns the harvest that he will send out, there's that phrase, called to be sent. He will send out more workers to gather his harvest. So part of your calling in life is to pray that God will send out people to reach everybody with the good news of God's love. Because everybody deserves to hear. Does anybody deserve the chance to hear the good news twice when there's some people who haven't heard it once? So we pray. We pray that God will send people out. And that's the first thing you do. Second thing you do is you can give. Give to help others go. Maybe you're in a stage of life you can't go right now, but you can give to help other people go. Maybe you're at home with young little ones, preschoolers, and you couldn't go to somewhere in the world. Or maybe you're an elderly person and you know, you've gotten a little more creaky in your old age and, you know, you got a hitch in your get along and you don't know how to, but you can help. When the Bible says when you support other people to go on humanitarian missions and peace missions and relief missions and sharing the good news missions, you actually participate in their reward. The Bible says this in 3 John chapter 1, verse 8. We must support believers. When we talk about financial support, we must support believers who go on trips like this so we can work together with them in spreading the truth. And then Matthew 10, verse 8 says this, freely have you received, freely give. So God says, I've been generous with you. You should be generous and help get the word out. I can pray, I can give. Number three, step out. I can step out in faith. And what does that mean? Volunteer. God's army, God's mission is 100% volunteer. It's no conscription, there's no draft. You gotta volunteer. You gotta say, Lord, I'm in, I'm willing, I'm able. Do you know why God uses me? Because I volunteered. In fact, I volunteer every day of my life. So God, I wake up in the morning, and before my feet hit the ground, I say, Lord, I know you're gonna do some really cool things in the world today. Would you give me the privilege of us being in on some of them? And the train's moving. I just wanna get on his train. I wanna get in. I don't get up and say, God bless what I'm doing. I get up in the morning and say, God, help me to do what you're blessing. I know you're gonna bless a bunch of things in the world today. Would you let me get in on some of it? I want to get in on his plan. It's not God working on my plan. I'm working on his plan. I don't say, God bless my plans. I say, God, what do you plan to do today? Can I be in on some of it? I step out in faith, like Isaiah did, the great prophet in the Old Testament. Isaiah 6:8, Isaiah says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? There's that word, called to be sent. Who will I send, and who will go for us? And I said to the Lord, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me. 39 years ago, when I was 1 year old, I volunteered to give a summer in Nagasaki, Japan, to help start a new church. I was 20 years old. I didn't know a single word of Japanese. I didn't know anything about helping a church. I just said, I want to be in on what God's doing. And so I volunteered. And I gave my summer, that summer when I was 20 years old, to move to Japan for 3 months. And I said, I don't speak Japanese, but whatever you need me to do, run errands, print programs, take out coffee. And I helped start a new church in the suburbs of Nagasaki, Japan. 39 years later, that church is still doing good. It's caring for the sick. It's assisting the poor. It's educating the next generation. It's telling people the good news. It's helping them find freedom from their faults and their hang-ups and their hurts, finding freedom from addictions. It's putting marriages back together. It's changing lives. It's helping people get ready for heaven. It's doing all kinds of good things. Was that worth 3 months of my life? Are you kidding me? I think of all the things I could have done that summer. I could have spent the whole summer just surfing. Nobody would have remembered it. I could have spent the whole summer just playing Jimi Hendrix albums, records. Anybody remember records? I think you're all too young for that. Okay, they're these big things, all right? And I could have told you 100 different ways I could have wasted that summer. But I did something where I bore fruit that will last. And 39 years later, that church is still helping a lot of people get their act together, get their lives changed. And someday I'm going to go to heaven, and somebody's going to come up to me from that church and say, I want to thank you, Rick. And I'll go, I don't even know you. I say, no, but you helped start a church 50 years ago. And last year, before I died, that church taught me the good news, and I found forgiveness, and I found freedom, and I found redemption, and I found salvation, and my life was radically changed for the better, and I'm in heaven because of you. Thanks. Will that be worth it? Oh, yeah. That's fruit that will last. What have you done in your life that's going to last? What do you want to do in your life that's going to last? If you want God to use you in any area, something like this or anything else, you just have to say, I'm in. I dare you to pray the most dangerous prayer. The most dangerous prayer you can ever pray is only two words. You've heard me talk about this before. It's only two words. The single most dangerous prayer you can say is this: use me. You tell that one to God, you better get your boots on, because God is looking for people to use. And what we need is the same attitude that David had. Look at this verse, Psalm 67. Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. That's the attitude, Jesse. Lord, send me. Here am I. Send me. Like Isaiah said, the great prophet of Israel. So I pray that people say yes to God. I give so others can go. I step out in faith myself. And number four, this is real important. Go where I can now. You go where I can now. That's personal peace. That's local peace and helping others. We live in a county that is filled with needs all around us. Once there was a guy who was just really struggling with some personal demons in his life. And Jesus helped him get his head on right and helped him get his act together. And he wanted to follow Jesus on to the next town. And Jesus told him no. Look at this verse, Luke 8, verse 39. Jesus said, you go back home. He said, I want you to go back home and tell people how much God has done for you. So the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. Some of the things I think what God will say to you is you need to go back home. You need to tell people on your campus if you're in school, or in your business if you're in a business, or in your neighborhood if you live in a neighborhood. Tell the people around you. Tell them the good news. Now, the last verse on your outline, that's a misprint. I want you to scratch it out. It's actually 2 Timothy 4:5. It's not 2:10, it's 4:5. So we're not on the 2:10 freeway, we're on the 4:05 freeway. Okay? 2 Timothy 4:5 says this: work at bringing others to Christ. Why? Because they'll experience his love, they'll experience his forgiveness, they'll experience his peace, they'll experience his purpose, they'll experience past forgiven, purpose for living. All of these things that God offers to us. Work at bringing, by the way, this is our memory verse. You know, each week we're memorizing one verse from the Bible. And this week I thought it'd be really nice and light on you and give you a word, a sentence that's only so short, anybody can memorize it. So when you memorize a Bible verse, you say the reference, where you find it in the Bible, at the beginning, at the end. So let's say this aloud together, okay? 2 Timothy 4:5, work at bringing others to Christ. 2 Timothy 4:5. By the way, what is 2 Timothy 4:5? Yeah, and by the way, where does it say work at bringing others to Christ in the Bible? Very good, class. All right, let me close with just a couple practical things. How do I work at bringing other people to Christ? How do I help share the good news that God isn't mad at us, that God loves us, that God wants a relationship? God, Jesus didn't come to give us religion. He said, I've come that you might have life and have it to abundance. And you know what? Most people aren't really living. They're just existing. They're just existing. They get up in the morning, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed. Get up in the morning, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, go to a party on the weekend, think, man, I'm living. No, you're not living. You're existing. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life. Not religion, life. A relationship. Let me close with a prayer. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, what we've talked about this weekend is really the subject dearest to your own heart. You want people in your family. You know everything about us, and you want us to know you. It's the reason you created the universe. It's the reason you sent your son to die for us. It's the reason you have never made anybody that you don't love. You've never made anybody you didn't have a plan and purpose for their life. So I pray two things. First, that you would keep us from being distracted in things in our life that really don't matter. That we wouldn't waste our lives on stuff that isn't going to last. And second, give us the faith and give us the courage to pray the most dangerous prayer in the world. Use me. Now you talk to God. You know, it really doesn't matter what you say. Just say, hey, God. And what matters is being honest. If you don't even know if there is a God, say, God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. And over time, he will. God never turns down a genuine seeker. So just say, dear God, if you're real, make yourself real to me. I want to know you. And if you love me, I want to learn to love you back. And I want to take the first step, the step of openness. And I pray this in sincerity as best I know how. Amen.
Wow, thanks, Rick, for such an encouraging message. Hey, do you ever wonder if your life really matters or what on earth you're here for? Well, Pastor Rick Warren wants to let you know that God has a good plan and purpose for your life. And in his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, he lays out a simple, life-changing roadmap to help you discover and live it. This book has transformed millions of lives, and it could transform someone you love. And great news, it's been updated for today's generation. This edition includes a video introduction from Pastor Rick for each chapter, audio teaching at the end of every chapter, and two powerful bonus chapters on the biggest barriers to living a purpose-driven life. As you go through this book, you'll uncover that your deepest meaning and fulfillment doesn't come from success or status, but from understanding and living out the purpose that God created you for. It's an incredible resource for your own spiritual growth. But it's also one of the most effective ways to introduce someone you love to Jesus. In fact, millions have come to faith in Christ through this book, often just because someone like you gave them a copy. So we say, don't just get one, get several copies to share with friends, family, coworkers, and neighbors who need hope. Request your copy today. When you give a gift to help Daily Hope share the gospel around the world, it's our way of saying thank you for your partnership. Just go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.